Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro.
And we're back for another episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
We survived the eclipse today, everybody. We survived it.
And if you live in the South, chances are you didn't get to see it.
You didn't even get to see it.
Oh, so did it really happen?
Well, we don't know.
I don't know. If you ask the conspiracy theorists, they'd probably give you a completely different answer.
If you didn't see it, did it happen? That's the question.
Yeah. It's like that classic, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's around to hear it.
Yeah.
Doesn't make a sound.
I did get my toofy fixed today, too. And that only took about 30 minutes. So that was nice.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
I no longer have a cracked in half tooth. So I'm very happy right now.
Good. Yeah. No, as I know you put in the open micers chat earlier that you were heading to the dentist. So I'm glad it went well. That's like record time.
I know.
Usually my dentist trips are like an hour and a half.
Well, I got there. There wasn't anybody there. I guess nobody did any dental work, needed any dental work done on the day of the eclipse. So I was lucky. I just walked in. I was like 20 minutes early for my my appointment, and they just brought me right back, sat me in the chair, took an x-ray. The dude came in about 2 minutes later and said, yep, tooth cracked. You want to fill it today? I said, hell yeah, let's do it right now. So he numbed me up. And actually, working on a top tooth is not nowhere near as bad as working on a bottom tooth. Because like when you get a bottom tooth done, they got to deaden everything. So like your lips all numb and you're like your tongue is numb. The top tooth, they just numb the one tooth and that was it. Like I didn't even really get numb to anything.
That's you can't really complain about that.
Yeah. So my appointment was at 2:30. I got there at like 10 after 2. I was walking out of there at 2:53. So I was like, damn, that was fast.
That's awesome. Which, you know, it's funny you mentioned that hardly anybody was there. I feel like going to the dentist is like the most Monday thing that you could ever do.
Joey is already starting in the chat room. He says, how dare you? No mercy is still great. So he must have heard the pre-show.
Yeah. No, it's I'm gonna say mostly good things about it.
Yeah. We're not gonna bash it too hard. I don't even have anything to say about it because I never played it.
Yeah.
But anything, what you got going on this weekend? Did you get to play anything? I know you were busy doing some stuff for the movie.
Yeah, so we had auditions for my wife's short Friday and so I got to have Friday off because I had to work on Good Friday. So I got to just hang out at home. We had auditions Friday and Saturday, and then watched WrestleMania, which was Saturday and Sunday. You know, for those that don't really keep up with WWE, they switched to a two-night format during COVID.
I did get to watch some of the first night last night, so I'm gonna have to watch it in segments, but I'll get through this weekend's WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was a really, really good show. It was one of my favorites in a long time. So, it was, and there were some cool surprises too. I won't spoil them.
All right,
but there are some good surprises.
I got through the first two matches, the one with Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley, and then the tag team. Which, dude, the tag team match was freaking incredible. Like, I was just like, I felt like a kid again watching that match.
And that actually is a good preview of the discussion of the game, is when you do those kind of matches, it's just crazy fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't imagine how sore those guys are today, but it was really good.
Yeah, getting thrown through a ladder cannot be, that can't feel good the next day.
Mm-mm. Joey actually says there was a No Mercy tournament this past weekend in Philadelphia at an indie wrestling show. That's awesome.
I know, that would be cool to go to. I never thought about having wrestling game tournaments. Like, that sounds actually kind of fun.
Yeah, what's cool is that, you know, the whatever town WrestleMania is in, like this year it was in Philadelphia, they do a lot of like independent shows and do a lot of wrestling themed things to tie into it. And I think it's really smart business.
Yeah. But I hope everybody enjoyed WrestleMania weekend. It seems like everybody loved it. From what I saw on social media, everybody really seemed to love WrestleMania this year. So I'm excited to get through it all.
Yeah, no, I think you'll enjoy it.
But we got some news to get to this evening. You ready to jump into it?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. If you have a news story you'd like us to cover, send them to nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. And actually, we talked about this not too terribly long ago. This is from theverge.com. Apple opens the App Store to retro game emulators. Game emulators have long been banned on the App Store, and they were one of the big reasons users in Europe might seek out third-party marketplaces. It says Apple is loosening its App Store restrictions and opening the marketplace up to retro game emulators. In an update last Friday, Apple announced that game emulators can come to the App Store globally and offer downloadable games. Apple says those games must comply with all applicable laws, though, an indication that it will ban apps that provide pirated titles. So it seems like a good idea for maybe, since Apple is doing this, maybe Nintendo will lighten up a little bit and start, you know, putting some ROMs out there. You know, we'll see what happens.
So if I could use a leash comparison, Nintendo's leash is like two chain links. Like, yeah. It's tight. Like, it has to be two, because you can't really call it a leash if there's not more than one.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll loosen it to like three.
We'll see.
Maybe four. Here's the thing. In theory, it is a great idea for Nintendo to do this, because a lot of, especially Game Boy games, would be great on the App Store.
Yeah.
Like Pokemon, like the Mario Land games, those would be, Dr. Mario would be an excellent, excellent addition. Like, I would download those games and play them. Will it happen realistically?
No. Probably,
probably not.
Because why?
Because whatever, you know, the Switch successor is going to be, I imagine Nintendo will do something similar to what they're doing with the Switch Online store, and they'll want to have everything on it.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll stuff like Sega. Maybe we'll see some stuff from, TurboGrafx-16. You know, maybe we'll see some stuff from that era. Popping up on some of the emulator sites. Maybe they can make a little money off of their ROMs. I mean, it's a good way to make money off of ROMs that are, you know, 30, 35 years old. I mean, how else are you going to make money on them?
But that's not the purpose of a business. It's not to make money.
Yeah, exactly.
Rampage says in the chat, Jason says about Nintendo lightening up, and my fiance says, I didn't know Jason was a good comedian.
Well, it's like I said, it's why I say it, like, maybe Nintendo, you know, maybe they'll lighten up a little bit, but I highly, highly doubt it.
I think it's something worth following, though, because you never know what will pop up.
Yeah.
You know, just because it's not a Nintendo game doesn't mean that, you know, other retro games might be available on the App Store, and I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Next up, from NintendoLife.com, Stardew Valley version 1.6 update will be released on the Switch as soon as possible. Last month, after a long wait, Stardew Valley creator Eric Concerned Ape Barone, I guess is how you pronounce it, rolled out the version 1.6 update on PC. He mentioned back in February how the console and mobile release would follow as soon as possible, and now, a few months on, he's reiterated this on social media while thanking fans on platforms like Switch for their patience and understanding. He said that the updates are in progress and will be released as soon as possible. I have no specific release date, but I will give updates if there is anything significant to share. I really appreciate your patience and understanding. You said a week or two ago you've been playing Stardew Valley, right?
Yeah, I started playing it about a week or so ago, and I'm not too terribly far into it, but I'm really liking it so far. I'm pretty sure the version I have already has the last patch that came through already in it, because I know there's things like the last patch, you do stuff like you can drink mayonnaise and things like that. I'm like, that's pretty freaking gross.
Ugh. I had the thought of drinking mayonnaise, and I feel like I'm going to puke. I like mayonnaise, but you got to have just a fine amount.
Just
a
thin layer.
You can't overdo the mayo.
Why would you add that in the game, drinking mayonnaise? Like, that's disgusting.
So I got a Publix sub on Saturday, and I got mayo on it. And the problem is a lot of it, I guess, was at the end of the sandwich. Mm. So when I got to the end of it, coming out of the bread was just this huge glop of mayo. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm done.
Yeah, that's, ugh. I mean, like you said, I like mayo when it's a nice thin layer. But if it's like squeezing out the bottom of the sandwich, I'm like, I can't do that. That's too much mayo.
Yeah.
The next story is from, let's hold on just one second. This is from GameRant.com. April 8th, which is today, is going to be a sad day for Nintendo fans. Let me tell you something, Game Rant. There's a lot of sad days for Nintendo fans, let me tell you. Not just
for Nintendo fans, it's just Monday.
Yeah, it's just Monday. April 8th marks the end of online services for the Nintendo Wii U and 3DS. It has previously shut down online services for the Wii and DS, with the Wii U and 3DS now meeting the same fate. Let's see. While most games on the Wii U and 3DS don't heavily rely on online multiplayer, titles like Splatoon will be affected by the shutdown. There's a not terribly long article, but that's basically the gist of the article, is they are shutting down the Wii U and the 3DS online capabilities. So if you like playing your Wii U and your 3DS, hope you got everything you wanted for it, because it's no longer going to be able to be hooked up to the internet.
Got to stay up until 11:59 just getting everything you can.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about this off and on, that, you know, this date was coming. And I have my gripes with the Wii U, as I've said on the show, but it's just a shame that they're discontinuing the store on the 3DS, because I still think there was a lot of meat on that bone that they didn't take advantage of. Like, they could still be making 3DS games today.
Well, the thing is, I mean, those 3DSs are still operational. How much money can it possibly be costing Nintendo to keep up those 3DS servers? Now, I can understand the Wii U being shut down because they only sold like 8 of them. So, you know, I mean, I could see them being like, nobody's using this thing. We don't really need to keep it up. But the 3DS sold like, you know, like how many 3DSs did they sell? Like 150 million of them? I mean, there's a ton of them out there.
Let's see. I'll look that up real quick.
They got to still be people still playing their 3DSs. There has to be.
The 3DS, as of September 2023, worldwide has sold 75.95 million units.
That's a lot of 3DSs out there in the world that people are probably still playing.
Yeah, I still break mine out every now and then. It sucks that I can't buy anything from the store because they used to have a lot of great, you know, handheld games.
Yeah.
And it was just such an easy convenience. And I don't... I get it, but I also don't. The Wii U I get, the 3DS I don't, because there's still a lot you could have done with that console. And I think it's great, but I think it'll be looked at as one of Nintendo's biggest, you know, missed opportunities.
Yeah. And I don't know. It just seems as much money as Nintendo makes, like how expensive could it be? And how many servers could they possibly need to keep up, you know, something for the 3DS? It can't be that many. You know, hire like one or two guys to keep that running. It can't cost you that much money. You're Nintendo. You have more money than, you know, like Europe. Like they have a war chest that will keep them going for the next 200 years.
Long after you and I are gone.
Yep.
And our last story comes to us from GameRant.com. Disney and Sega rumored to be working on new mobile game. Disney and Sega may be collaborating on a new game that might be released on mobile phones in the near future. This could mean that Sega fans longing to see the likes of Sonic the Hedgehog do a crossover with Disney icons like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck might finally have their wishes come true. If they do that, I will buy it.
I want to have a Sonic game with Donald. I want to see Donald Duck running as fast as Sonic. That's what I want to see.
Oh, that would be great. Let's see. Mobile games made by Sega are nothing out of the ordinary. In fact, Sega is one of the more prolific third-party publishers with a footprint in the mobile gaming landscape, like we touched on earlier. Just recently, the Japanese video game giant released the puzzle game Puyo Puyo Puzzle Pop exclusively for Apple Arcade on iOS. So, Sega releasing another mobile game, that's not very surprising. If they're going to team up, why would you not do something like that? Like, I know we laugh about it, like Donald Duck running as fast as Sonic the Hedgehog. Mm-hmm. If you're going to collaborate, just go all out with
it.
Like put Mickey, Donald, all those characters in the Sonic universe or vice versa. Like, that would be a crossover that I've never thought about, not once in my entire life. But now, like, I want that to happen.
You know, I'm just sitting here thinking about it. We talked a few months ago about the new Sega CEO coming in and having big plans for Sega coming up here in the future. What if do you think Sega's maybe moving more into the mobile gaming arena?
Could be.
Could be there. The future of Sega is just mobile gaming.
Like, I still think they'll be making, you know, Sonic games and, you know, your occasional console games, but if it works, why not move more into mobile gaming? If that's what brings in the most money for you.
I hate to say this, but not? Mobile gaming is where all the money is in gaming right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like, there's only a handful of mobile games that I play, but I still recognize that, you know, like a lot of people do.
I don't have a single mobile game on my phone. I just don't play mobile games. I don't like them.
I have Solitaire and Tetris.
I had Monopoly Go for a little while, but I played that for about a week and a half, and then I was like, yeah, I'm done.
I used to play the Wheel of Fortune game every morning, like before I would go to work.
Mm-hmm.
That would be like kind of my way to wake my brain up.
Yeah.
Would just be lay in bed and play like a round or two of Wheel of Fortune.
I would do that, but yeah, I'm just not into mobile gaming. It's just not my thing.
Yeah.
But that brings us to the end of the news, and now it is time for this month in video game history. In April of 1987, IBM launches the PS2 line of computers, PS2, which introduces VGA graphics and a 3.5-inch floppy disk drive to PCs.
What kind of name is PS/2? I know,
that's not a great name. The PS2, that's terrible.
I know. PS2 would never be successful. But I just, the slash in the name just throws me off every time. Like what happened to the PS1?
Yeah.
Was there a PS slash? Oh, it's, I know it stands for personal system, but why not call it just personal system 2 or version 2? Like, that would be more appropriate to it being a computer.
Wow, this thing was lasted 7 years, which is a long, no, 8 years, which is a long time for computers back in that era. Like, this lasted until 1995. And I remember back then, dude, if you went and bought a computer, it was already obsolete by the time you got to your car.
Mm-hmm. Still feel that way today.
Yeah, pretty much.
In April of 1988, Namco releases Assault, which may be the first game to use hardware rotation of sprites and the background.
I think we talked about this. Yeah, we talked about this before. This is kind of looks like a 1942 style
mm-hmm.
game. It actually looks pretty good. I would play this.
Yeah, yeah, I would too. There's a screen cap of the arcade version, which is funny because I was about to say it looks just like an arcade game. That's because it is. This would be kind of fun to play, like a it's like your classic like top down
mm-hmm.
shooter.
I will say though, the game art itself for the cover is very boring and would not make me want to play this game.
It looks more like a magazine cover.
Like for like some kind of, you know, Navy magazine or something.
Yeah, and not a good magazine.
Let's see here. April of 1994, the Interactive Digital Software Association founds the Entertainment Software Rating Board, the ESRB, in order to self-regulate content and video games in the mold of the Motion Picture Association of America film rating system, which I think was the best thing they could have done, because if not, video games would have been regulated by the government and we would probably be playing nothing but Pong right now.
And we probably wouldn't have this podcast.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's actually a pretty important story in the history of gaming.
Because yeah.
Like you said, had that not happened, gaming as we know it probably would have never existed.
Because mm-hmm. we all know how great, you know, government would be in regulating something.
Yeah.
Mm.
April 23rd of 1997, Zatrix Entertainment releases Redneck Rampage for Windows in North America.
This is something I want to go back and review, because I remember this game from back in the day, and I would love to go back and review this game.
Oh, I would love if you did that, because I completely forgot this game existed until I saw the cover art. And I'm just like, oh my God, I remember this game, and I remember it was like so over the top and hilarious.
I'm going to have to look and see if this is either on Steam or Good Old Games or something like that.
It might be. I would think so.
Let's see. April 9th of 2001, Dr. Mario 64 is released for the Nintendo 64 in North America. I do like this version of the game. It's one of the few N64 games I still really like.
Well, it's one that it's not really affected by the graphics.
No. I mean, it looks like a Dr. Mario game, just with more yep. colors. I mean, it's yeah. all it is.
Yeah, Dr. Mario 64 is not a bad game at all. Like, I think I still prefer the original, but it's not a bad game at all. And finally, April 16th of 2002, Spider-Man the Movie game is released in North America. I loved playing Spider-Man. It's based off the original Tobey Maguire movie.
Yeah.
And I remember my mind being blown the first time you could swing through New York City. It was great.
Yeah, I remember renting this on the original Xbox and was just blown away by it.
And now you look at Marvel's Spider-Man or Spider-Man 2, and it's like on another universe.
But hey, that's where, I mean, the seeds of that game are like there. And Mushmouth says he can't stay, but he just wanted to say that this game went very hard, talking about No Mercy, and he says, slap the like, kissed both of your foreheads on my screen, and we'll tune in after the live. So thank you for swinging in, sir.
So that's where that sudden burst of energy came from.
But before we go into the review tonight, Derek, you want to do our Patreon shout-outs?
Sure. As always, we like to shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout out our newest patron, Brian Piotrowski, Nick W., Elt the Zombie, Yup Fed, a.k.a. Knife, James, a.k.a. at Jimbo Jr. on our Discord, Raven, Danny House, Justin Nispel, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mr. B-Rez Coffee himself, Mike Eveland, Tyler Watson, Axeblade07, Armez Jackson, Carlos Longoria, a.k.a. I on the
Rampage,
Steph Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Mr. Joey Image, and of course,
Mama Diamond.
Donna Diamond, thank you all so much for your continued contributions and keeping the lights on for us here at the Nerd Cave Retro Podcast. We say it every week, but you know what? We're going to say it again. For as little as a dollar a month, you get your own custom RSS feed with no ads. If you want to hear us talk for an hour continuously with no breaks, it's just for as little as a dollar a month, and you get early access to our bonus episodes, which for the most part has included a commentary track from a live action movie like Batman 89, Clue, Christmas Vacation, animated shows like Real Ghostbusters, Gargoyles, Darkwing Duck, Tailspin. But for this past month, we did something a little different. We did a roundtable discussion on digital and physical media and where we think that aspect of the entertainment industry is going.
That was a fun episode to do.
Yeah, it was. So, if you want to be a part of our awesome Patreon community, just head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And for new patrons, be sure to send us your social media info, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
And tonight, we're talking about dig it.
Hearing those voices just brings me back to my childhood.
Yeah.
That's so great. So as we mentioned at the top of the show, I'm going to be talking about WWF No Mercy, which is a professional wrestling video game released in 2000 by THQ for the Nintendo 64. Of course, it is based on the World Wrestling Federation, also known now as the WWE, and is named after a former monthly pay-per-view that was also named No Mercy. It was, funny enough, recently brought back as a show for the NXT brand, which is kind of like WWE's farm system.
Yeah.
And what's cool is they did a recreation of the opening of the video game.
See, like I would, with the, you know what would be a good extra episode for us to do 1 month? Actually, maybe next month we could do it for Patreon. Since I'm kind of slowly getting back into wrestling, you can catch me up on everything that I've missed over the last 20 years. Like, what is NXT? Like, who are some of the people I need to pay attention to? That kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that'd be a great. That's, we definitely have to have Joey on.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he could do, you know, a much better job than I could. But yeah, you know, this was released in 2000, which was towards the latter part of what's called the Attitude Era. Back, you know, it took place in the late 90s, early 2000s, where WWF had more of like an edgy, Joey, how many hours you got? That might have to be like a three-parter.
Yeah, I mean, we could just take one Saturday or one Sunday when we all got nothing to do, and we'll just have it. We'll just go until we're done, and that we'll split it up if we have to.
One episode will be the 2000s, then the 2010s, and then we'll go into the 2020s.
Because I kind of dropped off wrestling in the early, well, not early 90s, I'd say around 93, 94, and then I got back into it in the late 90s, like around 98, 99, and then I dropped off, and I really haven't been back since. I mean, I've dropped in a few times over the years, but never really dove back in head first.
Well, and I know it's, there'd be a lot to catch up on.
Oh, yeah.
And I know we've had this discussion on a previous episode where we debated what was better, the 80s or the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
But really, like the rock and wrestling era or the Attitude Era. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up in the 90s, and I was introduced to wrestling in 1998. I didn't start watching WWF until that summer. But once I started, like, that was my show. Like, we would sometimes have get-togethers at my uncle's house or at our house on Monday nights to watch Raw and Nitro. And we would flip back and forth. You know, back in the channel-changing days, for you younger listeners,
yeah,
there's a button called Previous Channel you'd hit on the remote, and you just flip between the two. When one go to commercial, you'd flip to the other.
See,
one.
That would be another question you could answer for me on the extra Patreon episode. Like, what's the difference between Raw and SmackDown?
Well, the short answer is, so Raw has their own wrestlers that only compete on that show. It has its own championships and everything.
See, because I was wondering, I never SmackDown. Really thought about it until WrestleMania the other night when I was watching it, and then they had the tag team, you know, the ladder match for the tag team, and one was they had to go up the ladders and get the belts. Whoever got the belts got the championship, and they had a SmackDown and Raw belts. And I was like, huh, they have different titles now. That's like, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did that shortly after WCW went out of business, because they had so many new people on their roster that they had to split it so that everybody could get, you know, a decent amount of TV time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of went away from it and then brought it back.
I'm sorry, I keep bringing you back into actual wrestling talk. We should talk about the game now.
Hey, I'm all for it. Like, we'd be here for hours if that was the case. So I loved this era of wrestling games. You know, I reviewed WrestleMania 2000 a while back on the show. WCW, NWO, Revenge, they all had this kind of similar feel. The graphics were kind of similar. The controls were pretty much the same. Like, these are pretty easy games to pick up and play because the controls were a lot more basic back then than they are now.
Yeah.
Like, you have, you know, your set of moves, you have your finisher and things like that, and that's really all you have to do. And for No Mercy, what I really liked about it, and I haven't played this game in probably 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
What I really loved about it, and I think this was actually a standard bearer, was the championship mode. it's basically like your story mode or your campaign. But the cool thing is you can choose to go after any title. Like, it's not just the world title, which you can go after, but you could go after the Intercontinental title, the tag team titles, and they each have their own storyline. And depending on how the matchups fall, like if you win or lose, that affects the storyline. So it actually adds a great level of replayability because you can go through with all the different characters.
That's pretty cool.
The outcomes are a little different.
Hmm.
And when you're doing championship mode, you also earn money that you can use to unlock certain things like, you know, arenas, costumes for your created wrestlers that you have to unlock. So it adds a nice incentive to play through the championship mode and do it multiple times.
And you know, I'm looking through some of the screenshots here, and honestly, it doesn't look that bad to me. I mean, maybe it looks different. I need to see some video of it, but the still shots really don't look that bad.
So this is one of the few games that I've played in the last year or so that I actually have a physical copy of. So I played it on the N64. And I feel like I'm, you know, kicking it while it's down because we say this about every N64 game. The graphics really don't hold up. And the characters are pretty blocky looking, as you could tell. But I mean, they all look like that from that era, whether it's PlayStation, N64, like they all kind of look the same. But it's the gameplay for this specific one that I think makes it stand the test of time. You know, like Joey was mentioning, they had a No Mercy tournament and an independent show.
Mm-hmm.
This is still considered to be like one of, if not the best wrestling game that's ever been made.
Wow.
At the time, the creative director of the WWE games in 2013 actually said in an interview, he said, "To this day, I still hear, why can't you make the new WWE games like No Mercy? And I don't think I'm ever going to stop hearing that. It's 13 years old, and we still get compared to No Mercy. How we compare to its gameplay and how they want us to bring it back on Xbox Live." Of course, that interview was done 11 years ago.
Yeah.
But you got to think, as much as the games have advanced, and I haven't played the new one, but I've heard, for the most part, good things about it. And at some point, I'm going to pick it up. But even like the SmackDown games for the PS2, the GameCube games, none of them quite compared to this one. And I think it's a combination of the championship mode. It had a really good roster selection at the time. There were so many memorable characters during that time, like not just, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock and DX. There were a lot of really memorable characters that people still talk about to this day. And I remember this was one of the first games that it had some semblance of an entrance for the wrestlers. So like with Stone Cold, you know, you hear the glass shatter and it plays like a little bit of his entrance video. And then it shows him like coming out of the entry ramp and walking down to the ring. That hadn't, I think it was done in WrestleMania 2000, but I remember in the first SmackDown game for PlayStation, it was just like a close-up of their entrance video. And then you'd see like the actual character just kind of walking in the foreground.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's kind of lame. But, and what's funny is going back and listening to the music in this game, it sounds like, remember those really crappy, like, MIDI sounds you would download from Napster or LimeWire back in the day? That's what they sound like, and I'm just like, oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, it was
we've advanced.
It's still a cartridge-based game, so you couldn't have, like, actual tracks like you could on a CD, like, you know, the PlayStation 1 or 2, things like that.
Yeah.
They would have to be very compressed.
Yeah. But it was a nice little nostalgia thing. And like I said, you know, I think one of the reasons why this game is so popular and still stands the test of time is really anybody can pick it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's the controls are very simple. To do your finisher, like the hardest thing to me that you have to do is you have to build up what's called your attitude meter. And that's, you know, the more you beat on your opponent, the higher your meter gets and the lower theirs gets. Once you get it to a certain point, it starts flashing attitude really fast. And then you can use your finishing move. And I think you have it for about somewhere between 15 and 30 seconds.
Hmm.
So if you're smart, like say if you're using Stone Cold, you'll just hit them with four or five stunners in a row. And chances are you're going to win.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. One funny thing that happened, and I completely forgot this existed in the game. The movements in this game sometimes are comically bad. And I know that, like, graphic-wise, that's what we had, so we didn't really know any better. But one sound effect that I swear to you, it made me laugh for like 30 seconds, and it's going to show my lack of maturity. So I got hit with a low blow. And when you get hit, it plays the sound effect. You know, like the old, like a little bell you would find at a, like a hotel that you would ring to try and get somebody to come up to the front desk, that loud ding.
Yeah.
That's the sound effect that plays when you get a low blow. I swear I had to pause the game just because I'm like, oh my God, this, you could tell whoever made this game had that, that 90s humor. But, you know, it's things like that. And you can obviously create your own wrestler. You could do, dress them really however you want. You can pattern your character's moveset after somebody to make it easy, or you can go through and add in like the custom moves. Usually what I do is I'll pattern my character after someone and then just kind of tweak it from there.
I think that's how the current WWE games are, for, you know, the current wrestling games, is you make like a, you know, you make your own character, but you use like a certain wrestler's move set and things like that. So that seems to be like a legacy thing straight from this game.
What's cool about the new games is that you can even customize your own entrance. Like, you know, each wrestler has their own particular like lighting setup, so you can do that. Music, movements, all of that. And like, you couldn't even dream of doing that with a game like No Mercy or WrestleMania 2000. So it's been pretty remarkable to see the evolution of these games. But my favorite part, and this is with any wrestling game, is creating yourself and creating your friends and just beating the crap out of each other. And that's what we used to do.
Yeah.
You know, like that's, we'd have like ladder matches. We'd have, you know, just the craziest stuff you could do. Or you can like set it to, you know, the computer where you're not playing. But if you do like a ladder match, it's going to take like over an hour. Because the AI is actually pretty good in this game. Like, it's, the longer the match goes, it seems like the smarter your opponent gets.
Yeah.
And then he just starts countering like everything you do.
And Joey says, and the new games, you can create your own companies, Ooh. Titles, shows, and arenas with your own uploaded logos.
That's pretty cool. I might have to get 2K24.
Fun.
Yeah.
Because I know
that sounds really fun.
The last wrestling game that I played was, I think it was SmackDown for the PS2. And me and Wally used to play it, and we would create us and all of our friends, and we would all wrestle each other in the game. And I think I still have that PS2 memory card, so I might have to see if I still have that game somewhere, and let's see if those save files are still on there.
I like the way Joey's thinking. NCR Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
NCW.
Yeah, I dig it.
That would be cool to do with the new game, is if we could just like create ourselves and just like, you know, other people we know, and to do like a Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
That would be so fun. And I'm with Joey. I like doing the simulated Rumble matches and just watching.
Yeah.
I do that with Smash Brothers too, where I'll just put like the max number of characters on screen and set it to the computer and just watch.
You know, I was looking here at the different I was trying to look up all the WWF wrestling games that came out for the N64. See, there was WWF Warzone, WWF Attitude. Let's see, WCW versus NWO, but that's not a WWF game. Let's see. Of course, WrestleMania 2000 and No Mercy. And didn't you, you did, WrestleMania 2000. You reviewed it, didn't you?
Yeah, a few years ago.
Yeah. Joey, he's talking about John Jagger from, the Core podcast does a Frog Pants Studios, Wrestling Federation. And that's what his Twitch channel is all the people from the Frog Pants Network that he has that game, and he's never even played it. He just like runs the simulation of it.
That's dedication, though.
Yeah,
I gotta respect
that.
It's
a good idea for a Twitch channel.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, that would seriously be fun to do. And he actually said, he said the new one is awesome, and you'll be able to download Joey Image sometime this week.
Oh yeah.
But like, we should do that. Like, if I get the game, we should totally just like create each other and do like a,
I'm for
like
it.
We could stream it.
That would be awesome.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed like the N64 actually had a lot of wrestling games for it.
It's still my favorite era of wrestling games. I really got out of them. So I know there were the Day of Reckoning games for the GameCube. There was SmackDown for the PlayStation. And I think it was after the PS2 era that I really kind of got out of it. But
it was it says this game was up for Game of the Year at the 4th annual Interactive Achievement Awards, but it was ultimately awarded to Diablo 2.
Yeah, it was also nominated for Console Fighting and Console Game of the Year, which, you know, unfortunately it lost all of those, but yeah. It was also nominated for Best Console Fighting Game, N64 Game of the Year, and Gamer's Choice N64 at the Electric Playgrounds Blister Awards in 2000, which ultimately went to UFC and Perfect Dark.
Oh,
which Perfect Dark is understandable. I mean, Perfect Dark was a great game, but this is,
I didn't know the UFC went all the way back. I mean, I remember Ultimate Fighting back when in the early 90s when it was just starting out, when I was actually doing karate, when I was in karate classes when I was a kid, and the UFC was still kind of an underground thing. And I didn't know that Ultimate Fighting was kind of as big as it was around 2000. I thought it was still kind of an underground thing.
Yeah, I always forget that too. And it's funny that, you know, UFC and WWE are now owned by the same company.
Yeah.
Which I never would have expected.
Yeah.
But I think it's actually helped WWE a lot.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's been very good for the last few months. But if I'm ever going to go back and play a old school wrestling game, there are things about WrestleMania 2000 that, I don't know, I guess I was drawn to a little more, but No Mercy to me is still the standard bearer for wrestling games. Like I'll always compare, you know, whenever I get 2K24, I'm going to compare it to No Mercy. I know it may seem crazy because it's an N64 game, and we haven't been as kind to those. But 2K24 wouldn't exist if not for No Mercy.
But hey, a good game's a good game. Doesn't matter if it, you know, what console it came out for. Good game is going to stand the test of time.
I like Joey. He said I like the name Retro Championship Wrestling. We should get a belt made.
I like that too.
Yeah.
I wonder if somebody's copyrighted that already.
Oh, I hope not, because that'd be That'd be pretty sick. But this game was very highly rated back in the day. Critics lauded the title's gameplay and simple controls. GameSpot praised the wide variety of moves, including each character's finishing moves, as well as the ease in which the maneuvers could be executed. Metacritic gave the game an 89 out of 100. EGM gave it 8.17. I don't know why they would go that specific, but 8.17 out of 10. IGN, a 9 out of 10. Game Revolution, a B+, and N64 Magazine, a 92. I don't get this. So Nintendo Power gave it a 7.3. That's the lowest rating of all the games. But I always felt like Nintendo Power was more harsh to like their games. And I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe whoever reviewed it wasn't a wrestling fan, maybe.
That, or maybe they were just a WCW fan.
Maybe that too.
But no, I still think this is probably the best wrestling game ever made. It started a lot of trends. It's still easy to play. Yeah, the graphics aren't great, but it's still a lot of fun. Anyone can pick it up. The creator wrestler is fun. I like the replayability with the championship mode. I'm going to give this game an 8.5.
Wow. Out of 10. That's high.
Yeah, the only thing that brings it down is like the graphics, but that's looking at it through modern take.
Yeah.
and not leaning too far into nostalgia. But it's a really fun game, and if you're a wrestling fan, if you're a fan of the Attitude Era, go back and check out No Mercy.
Yeah.
It's a great trip down memory lane.
Well, that's going to bring us to the end of this review for this week. And honestly, let me look up on Patreon and let me look at my poll that I put up a couple of weeks ago to see what I'm going to be reviewing next week. Because I don't remember what I put on my poll. Come on.
While you do that, I already know what my next review is going to be.
Okay.
I'm going to review Indiana Jones and his desktop adventures.
Nice.
I found it.
That's awesome.
Yep. So that'll be in 2 weeks.
Where was the poll that I put? Oh, here we go. Let's see. I already did The Tick. I already did Monster Party. So it looks like I'm going to have to do The Goonies too, which I don't think I'm going to get through that game, because I'm going to have to do a walkthrough with that game because it is weird. Very, very weird.
I don't know what to think about that, about The Goonies 2.
Well, I've always wanted to give it a really good try, because I've always kind of dabbled in it here and there, never really played it, but I really do want to play. I'm not going to say what Joey just said in the chat room. but yeah, I've never really gave The Goonies a real, The Goonies 2 for the NES. I've never really gave it a real try. So I think I'm going to give it this week to play it and see what I think about it. And we'll see what happens on the next episode.
I'm looking forward to it. I like Joey's score, 8.5.17 out of 10. So that'll be my official rating for No Mercy.
Well, all right. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. And wow, they had an eclipse today. I got my tooth fixed. We talked about, I learned some more about wrestling. It's been a full day today.
I know. I'm ready to retire for the night.
Yeah, no kidding. what's going on with the Derek Diamond Experience?
Yeah, so I put this out on social, but with kind of everything that's going on with me right now, I've moved the Derek Diamond Experience to a bi-weekly schedule for the time being. So no new episode this week. I will have one next Monday. So if you want to check that out, you can head over to linktree.com/ddiamondpodcast.
And go check out the Open Micers podcast at Open Micers on Twitter and Instagram. We've had two really great episodes back to back just the other day. We did a Patreon extra episode, which we went ahead and just released to everybody. We talked with comedian Mike Kaplan, who is just hilarious. Go check the episode out. And we, before that, last week's episode, We talked to a comedian by the name of Trey Campbell, who has been featured many, many times on Kill Tony. So go check out those two episodes of the Open Micers podcast. You will not regret it, I promise you. So I think that's going to do it for today. Is there anything else to get out there before we walk out the door?
I think that's it.
Awesome. Well, if you want to email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. Nerdcaveretro.com is our link tree that takes you to all of our socials, our Patreon, our merch shop, which you can get to by going to ncrmerch.com. That we have t-shirts, hats, stickers, magnets, bags, mugs, whatever your nerdy little heart desires. And if you can't afford a Patreon, I mean, I know money's tight. I get it. If you don't have any money, you're like, guys, I just don't have it. What can I do? Please go to wherever you listen to the show and leave us a review and or a 5-star rating on every podcasting platform you can. So thank you guys for listening. And Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
If you smell what Nerd Cave Retro is.
Yeah.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
That's right, Major. You did.
I lied.
Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at brezcoffeeco.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself, or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast.
Or the Dragon's Breath roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast.
They have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to brezcoffeeco.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.